Well, this morning, our message is found in the book of Colossians. Our message is found in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And I want to take time to read all 17 verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. But before we do that, I want to remind us what we are celebrating. We are celebrating this morning that God sent His Son, who became a man, who lived a holy and a righteous life. He died in our place and for our sins, and then He rose again on the third day. That's what we celebrate. Amen? Amen. And not only that, whoever places their trust in Him, man or woman, boy or girl, if you trust that Jesus died in your place for your sin, then you are forgiven and you are a son or a daughter of God. That is what we celebrate. Or as the worship team just finished singing, because He lives, we live, and we can face tomorrow. Colossians, and see, I can say amen, we are dismissed, let's go home. I wish and you wish, but we don't get off that easily this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not a Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. Let's pray as we open our hearts for this morning's message. Father, we thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for the privilege of being able to listen to your word. Father, by your Spirit, may you be at work in us. Would you draw us to your Son, and may we be continually and constantly changed by him. Father, we pray that in it all and through it all, we may experience the joy and the peace of the Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul speaks about the lasting impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul continues to speak about the lasting impact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's a powerful passage. Because with those two passages taken together, what they say is this: if anyone places their faith in Christ, because Jesus Christ is alive, then God gives to them the gift of new life. Do you know that if you have placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is alive, and because he is alive, you are alive? The Bible says the old has passed away and the new has come. What the Bible is saying is that when we trust in Christ, we have been given a gift of new life. I love the way Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is translated in the New Living Translation. It makes some of this a little bit more clear, and I want to read it for us. It says this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The verse I just read, I'm going to read in the New Living Translation. It says this: "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you know what that passage is saying? It's saying that once we have been given the gift of new life in Christ, what we have to do is learn how to live that new life that we've been given. We've been given a gift, and now what we need to do is to learn how to use the gift that's been given to us. Do you know it's possible for someone to give you a gift and it belongs to you, but you waste it? So what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Has anyone ever given you a gift card that you haven't used? That's a gift. It was yours, but you wasted it and didn't use it. It's possible to be given a gift and to waste the gift that you have been given. And our message this morning is really simple and really brief, but I'm going to elaborate it for a very, very, very long time. Amen. I'm going to take that nail and pound it to death. And when I'm done, you're going to say, "Praise the Lord! He's done." But anyway, here's my really, really simple message, is that we have been given new life by Christ, and we don't want to waste it. That it is possible to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to waste the life that we've been given. See, here's what we need to understand. That because Jesus Christ is alive in us through faith, our life has new possibilities. Our life has new promises. Do you know if you've trusted in Christ, Jesus lives in you, and you have new possibilities in your life? That you don't have to keep on living the way that you have been living. That you don't have to keep on traveling down the same dead-end street that you've been traveling on. You say, Pastor Mike, a dead-end street? A dead-end street. Amen. You don't have to keep on doing that. But because Christ lives in you, there are new possibilities. You can turn off that dead-end street, and you can turn and travel down the new street of life. Or we can waste the possibilities and the promise that God has given to us. When I graduated from high school, my parents bought me a brand new car as a graduation gift. I was so excited. They surprised me. I remember I walked outside and there was this brand new car that I had been given as a graduation gift. I was so excited because I could imagine myself in that car. And I was like, man, I'm going to drive this thing into death. I was so excited. I'm going to drive up and down the road. Only one problem. It was a stick shift car. And the only thing I knew how to do was drive an automatic car. Now, my parents bought this car for me. It was a stick shift car. All I needed to do was to learn how to drive a stick shift. And if you can believe me, I never learned how to drive a stick shift car. To this day, I do not know how to drive a stick shift car. And you're surprised that I'm still here. My parents didn't kill me. Because they bought me a car. I could have learned to use the car. But I refused to learn how to drive a stick. And I could not enjoy the privileges and the promises of driving in that new car. And you say, Pastor Mike, why did you never learn how to drive a stick? Well, just hold on. I will tell you that later in the message. So why can't you tell us now? Well, I'm trying to hold your attention. And if I give you a mystery, maybe you'll hold on for a little while. Amen. So I'll come back to it. But they gave me this gift, and I never learned how to use it. And as we look at Colossians chapter 3, what the Apostle Paul is doing for us is he's trying to say, we've been given this gift, and we don't want to waste it. And so what we need to do is to learn how to use it. We have entered new life in Christ. We need to learn to live that new life. He said, well, why do we need to learn? What is this all about? Well, I was thinking of three analogies. See, when you enter into something new, you need to learn how to use that new thing that you've been given. Now, think about it like this. When a man and a woman are joined in marriage, they enter into a new life, and they need to learn how to learn how to live that new life so they don't kill one another. Because when you get married, it's not automatic. You don't know how to live that new life. You take two people who were living apart from one another, who were living single and selfish lives, and you throw them together. But before you do, you have a wonderful ceremony. Amen. Get all your friends, all your family, you get all dressed up, and you say, I do. You take all these wonderful pictures, but let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, that doesn't last long. You know I'm telling the truth. You get home after the wedding, and oh boy, because you've got two single, selfish people, and you've been living that way. Now, I don't want anybody to get themselves in trouble this morning, but you've been living that way, and then you join these two people together, and we're surprised when you join these two people together that there are fights and explosions and collisions. We shouldn't be surprised. You know why? Because we. Did you catch that? We've been living apart, and now we have to learn how to live a new life together. That's what this passage is about. It's about learning how to live the new life that God has given us in Christ. Or think about it another way. It's like when a husband and a wife have their first child. They enter, amen. They enter a new life. And they need to learn how to live that new life. Especially at 3 o'clock in the morning. I never forget when we had our first child. And that baby started crying at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I turned over and looked at my wife and said, hey, you better take care of that child. Last time I ever did that. I learned to live with my wife and my child. See, when you have a child, you don't know how what to do with that child. You don't know what that child is like. I remember before we had the child, and I was so excited. I can't wait till we have kids. I can't wait till we have kids. I can't wait till we have kids. And now we have kids. But I had to learn how to live with them. It wasn't automatic. I didn't know what to do. I had to learn. We enter new life, and we have to learn how to live that new life. Or think about it this way. It's like when an only child receives the gift that they've always been wanting and the gift they've always been praying for. When the only child receives the blessed gift of a brand new brother, baby brother or sister. That only child needs to learn that they've entered into a new life. Amen. And they need to learn how to live that new life. We have entered into a new life in Christ, and we need to learn how to live that new life. That's what Colossians chapter 3 is all about. And see, learning to live the new life that we have in Christ, it involves two things, primarily. It involves, first of all, allowing God to change the way we think and allowing God to change the way we act. See, when you enter into a new life, you cannot think the way that you used to think and you cannot act the way that you used to act. When you enter into something new, the way you think needs to change and the way you act needs to change. That's what the passage is about. If you look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, that is about the way we think. We have to think differently. Colossians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17, that is about the way we act. We need to act differently in light of the gift that God has given us. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Notice what he's saying. He's saying, because of this new life you have, let God change your mind. Let God change the way that you think. Why is the way that you think, why is that so important? Well, again, I go back to when I was first married. When I first got married, I remember within the first year, I've told this story too many times, but anyway, within the first year, I remember my wife got sick, and she was really sick. And we went to bed, and we slept, and my wife, she woke up in the middle of the night. And she woke up, and she turned over to me, and she shook me, and she said, Michael, I don't feel well. I don't feel well, and I can't sleep. And as a loving husband, I turned over to her, and I said, just because you can't sleep, don't stop me from sleeping. And I turned over and went back to sleep. Now, let me tell you something. I had a life-changing encounter that altered the way that I thought. And let me realize that that was not acceptable. I had to think differently about what I need to do if my wife wakes me up in the middle of the night. I had to change my mind and change my actions. And that's what we need to do as Christians. He says, set your minds on the things above. In other words, because you have new life in Christ, stop only thinking about the things of this earth. Begin thinking about the things of God and the things of heaven. Look at verse 3. Look at what he tells us. Look at how this works itself out. What does it look like when our minds begin to think in light of the new life that we have in Christ? Look at verse 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." I don't know if you know how powerful that is, but that is absolutely amazing. Because what he's saying is that if we truly understand what God has done for us in Christ, it will alter and change the way we see everything else. And what does he say in verse 3? He says two things. He says that we have died with Christ and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. See, this is amazing, and it'll set you free if you understand what's being said. Because what he's saying is this. He's saying that we look at ourselves and we look at our lives in light of what God has done in Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What does it mean? Here's what it means. When I walked into church this Sunday, I was absolutely shocked when I looked at the bulletin. I was shocked. I looked at myself. Amen. And let me let you in on a secret. I don't like looking at pictures of myself. Say, well, why did you tell them to put it on the bulletin? I didn't. But see, I look at that. And when I look at myself, can I just for a minute give you some insight into my own self-esteem or lack thereof? I look at my picture, and you know what I look at? All I can see are the things that I'm not. I look at my picture, and I think, whoa, I'm not tall, and I don't have a lot of hair. Amongst a number of other things. And you may look at me. Some of you maybe have never met me before. And you may look at me, and you say, whoa, there's not much to Pastor Mike. And I may think about myself, and I may think the same thing. Amen. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I look at myself, and I think about all the things that I'm not. I think about all the things that I haven't done. I think about all the things that I would like to do and like to have and like to be, and I'm not. And I think, what's going on? But then this verse challenges me to think differently. Because what this verse says, it says, Pastor Mike, that your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, what that means is that you may look at me and I may look at me and say, there's not much there. But what the verse teaches is that all that I am in Christ and all that I will be in Christ is not readily apparent. That's what it says. That as I live right now, all that I am and all that I will be is hidden. In other words, you can look at me and think, there's not much there. But the truth is, you can't see all that I am, and you can't see all that I will be in Christ Jesus. My life is hidden in Christ. Do you know that if you have placed your faith in Christ, that your life right now is hidden? That God has done so many wonderful things for you. That God will do so many wonderful things for you. But the full extent of who you are and who you will be is hidden. You can't see it. See, sometimes we look around and we want all that God has done for us. We want it right now. And what this tells us is that our life is hidden. While we live in this life, it's hidden. The full extent of it all hasn't been revealed. But that's not the end of the story. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 4. All right, I'm going to jump back to verse 3. Amen. I can do it and I'm going to. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Do you see what that passage says? It says right now, your life and my life is hidden with God in Christ. But there is coming a day, and the day is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed in all of his power, in all of his glory, in all of his greatness, and when he's revealed in glory. Do you know what that text says? Then I'm going to be revealed in glory with him. That we're going to see how great and how good and how spectacular he is. And that glory will shine in and through me. Do you know what that means? That means that one day, even though you may look now and you say, there's not much to him, there's not much about him. Oh, you just wait. One day you're going to look at me and you are going to see the glory and the greatness and the goodness of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. One day you're going to look at me and you will see Jesus. And you know what the truth about you is? One day I'm going to look at you and I'm going to see Jesus. And you know what's going to happen on that day? When you look at me and see Jesus, and when I look at you and see Jesus, then we're going to praise and glorify the Lord together and ever, amen. But we got to think about it that way. See, we want all the glory right now. We want it now. And I'm going to tell you, I want it now too. But the Bible teaches that we don't get it all now. We begin to enjoy it, but we don't have it all right now. We will enjoy the full scope of it all when Jesus is revealed. What does that mean? That changes the way I think about what happens in my daily life. That changes the way I think about what's going on in my marriage. That changes the way I think about what's going on in my church. That changes the way I think about what's going on in my community. That changes the way I think about what's going on in the world. Because what is happening right now is not the last word. See, right now we struggle. And right now we strain. And right now we're confused. And right now we're challenged. And right now we yearn for more. But all of that is to point our eyes in the right direction so that we look up past our circumstances. We look up past ourselves. We look up past our brothers and our sisters. And we set our minds on Jesus. We've got to change the way that we think because we've been given this new life in Christ. It changes the way we think, but then it changes the way that we act. See, whenever you begin to think differently, you act differently. Do you know why we live life doing the same things over again and getting the same results over and over again? Do you know why that happens? I'll tell you why it happens. It happens because we don't change the way we think. And if you continue to think the way that you always have, let me let you in on a secret, then your marriage will be the same way it is right now. So I hope you like it. Amen. Honestly, if you're looking for a different kind of experience in marriage, if you want something new in your marriage, then guess what? I've got some bad news for you. You've got to start not by having your spouse change. You need to start by you changing. You need to change. And what needs to happen first is it starts with how you think. And if you don't let God change how you think, can I give you some bad news? If you don't let God change how you think, it's going to continue to be the way it always has been. And you can go to any marriage seminar. You can read any book. You can go to see any counselor. You can even divorce that one and get another one. Say, so he didn't go there. Yeah, I did. Let me tell you something. If you divorce that one, it's, oh, that one's defective. I don't even know why I got with that one. What I need is this one. Oh, this one. Oh, this is different. This is a different one. Oh, I love this one. Now, you forgot you used to feel the same way about this one. till you got married. God, hold on, this one. I want that one. That one. Now, I'm gonna make a prophecy. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to make a prophecy. You leave that one for this one. And if you don't change the way you think, this one is going to start acting just like that one. I'm telling you. And you'll, one day you'll look around and be like, what? Like, hold on now. Did not just wait. What happened there? I'll tell you what happened there. Is that you changed spouses, but you didn't change. And that some of the things that were happening over here, some, I'm not going to say all of them, so you don't throw any stones at me. But I'm saying some of the things that are happening over here were happening because of the way that you were thinking and the way that you were acting. See? And that's why they responded the way that they did. So that when you get over here and you keep on thinking that way and you keep on acting that way, the new one is going to begin responding just like the old one. So let me save you some time and money. And heartache. Okay, can I do that this morning? Let God change the way you think. And you know what? Let God change your mind. And when he changes your mind, he'll change your actions. So what is involved in having him change our actions? Well, let me just give it to you real quickly here. When he changes our actions, they're two sides of the same coin. There's some things that we turn away from, and there's some things that we turn toward. But I want you to notice that this is all, it's all two sides of the same coin. Because when I turn away from something, what am I inevitably doing? If I'm turning from the right, what am I doing? I'm turning to the left. If I'm turning from the left, I'm turning to the right. They're two sides of the same coin. It's one action that involves turning from and turning toward. What is it that we're turning from? I don't have time to go through all of this, but here it is. We turn away from those things that dishonor God. We have new life in Christ. And what that involves is turning away from the things that dishonor God. So why do I turn away from the things that dishonor God? Here it is. If I can just give it to you really simple. The things that dishonor God are like weights and are like anchors, and they are sinking us and we are drowning under the weight of them. The things that dishonor God. If you look at the passage, he lists a number of those things. And what are the effect of those things? Well, when I live a life that's characterized by those things, it begins to sink me, it sinks my relationship, and it destroys my quality of life. So, Pastor Mike, I don't believe you. Well, if you don't believe me, try an experiment. Here's the experiment. Take Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. You take those qualities. I'm not going to name them, you read them. You take Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, and you live them out with all the gusto you have. You take that passage, you live those qualities out with all the gusto you have, and what's going to happen? I'll tell you what'll happen. You'll destroy your relationships, and you'll destroy yourself. Why? Because those qualities are destructive. And what God is saying is turn away from that which is destroying you. Turn toward that which is good. What's good? He tells us, verses 12 through 17, turn away from what's destroying you, turn toward what is good, what honors God. Again, I'm not going to elaborate all of these. You can read them. This new life in Christ involves turning away from what dishonors God and turning toward that which honors him. But I want you to notice this. We can't do that on our own. We cannot turn away from the bad and turn toward the good on our own. We need help. We need the Spirit of God and the presence of God to empower us so that we can live a life that honors God. Let me just give you one illustration, and then I am going to close. I told you that my parents gave me the gift of a car, stick shift car. Never learned how to drive it. So why did you never learn how to drive it, Pastor Mike? Well, I had a traumatic experience in it. When they first gave me the car, I was determined to learn how to drive. I wasn't very good at it, but I was determined. This was my car. I'm going to do it. So I got in the car, and I started puttering along. And I had gotten to a place where I could work the stick shift car, that I could putter along. I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive this stick shift to work. And I drove it to work. It puttered and puttered and puttered, but I got it to work. Oh, but when I left work, I got in that car and it was puttering and it was puttering. And I got to this place where my car, I had to stop. It was a stoplight and it was on an incline. And there I am. I had puttered along to the point of the incline and then I couldn't get it. And I would try to get it going, and as soon as I would get it going, it would cut off. And the car would kind of fall back. And I would be all kind of nervous. And I was sweating more than I'm sweating now. And I was stuck there on that incline. And people, I was stuck there for so long that it started to cause a traffic jam. And people were getting mad at me. And they were beeping the horn at me. And they were making all kinds of hand symbols at me. Some of them I could even see praying for me as they were driving around. I'm going to take it that it was prayer that they were mouthing off. And so there I am stuck on the incline at the light. The light would be green. I would try to make it through. I couldn't make it through. And I was stuck. And burr, burr, all this horrible stuff. I'm sweating. I'm like, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I wanted him to just rescue me to heaven right then and there. How am I going to get out of this? So here I am, stuck, can't do anything. I don't have the skill to get past this hill. And then all of a sudden, I get a knock on my window, And I'm thinking, oh man, they are coming to get me now. And it was a lady. And the lady was like, roll your window down, roll your window down. And so I rolled down my window. And here's what the lady said. She said, I see that you're having trouble. I'm like, yeah. Is it that apparent? Yeah, I'm having trouble. She said, well, here's what I did. She said, I drove my car and I drove it across the street and then I came back. And now I'm coming over here because what I'm going to do is if you'll let me, I will get into your car. I will drive you over to level ground and help you make it home. Now, I have to tell you, she was a gift from God and a blow to my ego. Because I have always dreamed of rescuing damsels in distress, but not being a damsel in distress. And so here I was, the damsel. I moved over to the passenger side. This lady got into my car. She drove my stick shift over across the street to level ground. And she said, now that you're here, do you think you can get home? And I said, yeah, I can get home. And she said, okay, but I'm going to follow you to make sure you get home. And I kid you not, I drove that car home, that lady followed me home, and that was the last time I ever got in that car. Never got in that car again. Because my pride was humiliated. Every time I looked at that car, all I could think about was what I couldn't do and that I needed to be saved by someone else. So what are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? I'm saying that's the same position that we're in. That here we are trying to live the new life in Christ, and we're trying to do what's good, trying to turn away from what's bad, and we're stuck. We do the best we can. We try as hard as we can. We shift those gears, but the lights just keep on changing, and we don't go anywhere at all. Because what we need is for someone from the outside to come into the inside and do in us and for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is that the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us. And by His presence, and by His power, and through His might, He enables us to turn from what's bad. We can't do it on our own. But with His presence and power, He enables us to turn from what's bad and to turn toward what is good. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been given the gift of new life. We need to learn how to live this new life. That involves allowing God to change the way that we think and to change the way that we act. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. And we ask that by the presence of your Spirit and by his power, would you do in us what we cannot do for ourselves? We want to choose what's good. We want to do what's right. We want to live a life that gives glory and honor to you. But we need your power. Would you do that in us? I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. I pray, Father, for all of those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. Would you empower them? Would you strengthen them? Would you change them, Lord? Would you help them to live in such a way that you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.